Jerome Klapka Jerome, The Soul of Nicholas Sniders. Reading 1. Once upon a time in Zaandam, which is by the Zuider Zee, there lived a wicked man named Nicholas Sniders. He was mean and hard and cruel, and loved but one thing in the world, and that was gold. And even that, not for its own sake. He loved the power gold gave him. The power to tyrannize and to oppress. The power to cause suffering at his will. They said he had no soul. But there, they were wrong. All men own, or to speak more correctly, are owned by, a soul. And the soul of Nicholas Sniders was an evil soul. He lived in the old windmill which still is standing on the quay, with only little Christina to wait upon him and keep house for him. Christina was an orphan whose parents had died in debt. Nicholas, to Christina's everlasting gratitude, had cleared their memory. It cost but a few hundred florins, in consideration that Christina should work for him without wages. Christina formed his entire household, and only one willing visitor ever darkened his door, the widow Terlast. Dame Terlast was rich and almost as great a miser as Nicholas himself.
"Why should not we two marry?"
Nicholas had once croaked to the widow Terlast.
"Together, we should be masters of all Zaandam."
Dame Terlast had answered with a cackling laugh, but Nicholas was never in haste. One afternoon, Nicholas Sniders sat alone at his desk in the centre of the great semicircular room that took up half the ground floor of the windmill and that served him for an office, and there came a knocking at the outer door.
"Come in!"
cried Nicholas Sniders. He spoke in a tone quite kind for Nicholas Sniders. He felt so sure it was Jan knocking at the door. Jan van der Voort, the young sailor, now master of his own ship, come to demand of him the hand of little Christina. In anticipation, Nicholas Sniders tasted the joy of dashing Jan's hopes to the ground, of hearing him plead, then rave, of watching the growing pallor that would overspread Jan's handsome face as Nicholas would, point by point, explain to him the consequences of defiance, how, firstly, Jan's old mother should be turned out of her home, his old father put into prison for debt, how, secondly, Jan himself should be pursued without remorse, his ship be bought over his head before he could complete the purchase. The interview would afford to Nicholas Sniders sport after his own soul. Since Jan's return the day before, he had been looking forward to it. Therefore, feeling sure it was Jan, he cried,
"Come in!"
quite cheerily. But it was not Jan. It was somebody Nicholas Sniders had never set eyes on before. And neither, after that one visit, did Nicholas Sniders ever set eyes upon him again. The light was fading, and Nicholas Sniders was not the man to light candles before they were needed, so that he was never able to describe with any precision the stranger's appearance. Nicholas thought he seemed an old man, but alert in all his movements, while his eyes, the only thing the one thing about him Nicholas saw with any clearness, were curiously bright and piercing.
"Who are you?"
asked Nicholas Sniders, taking no pains to disguise his disappointment.
"I am a peddler,"
answered the stranger. His voice was clear and not unmusical, with just the suspicion of roguishness behind.
"Not wanting anything?"
answered Nicholas Sniders dryly.
"Shut the door and be careful of the step."
But instead, The stranger took a chair and drew it nearer, and, himself in shadow, looked straight into Nicholas Snyder's face and laughed. Are you quite sure, Nicholas Snyders? Are you quite sure there is nothing you require? Think of it, continued the strange peddler, before Nicholas could recover power of speech. For 40 years you have drunk the joy of being mean and cruel. Are you not tired of the taste, Nicholas Snyders? Wouldn't you like a change? Think of it, Nicholas Snyders, the joy of being loved, of hearing yourself blessed instead of cursed. Wouldn't it be good fun, Nicholas Snyders, just by way of a change? If you don't like it, you can return and be yourself again. What Nicholas Snyders, recalling all things afterwards, could never understand was why he sat there, listening in patience to the stranger's talk. For, at the time, it seemed to him the jesting of a wandering fool. But something about the stranger had impressed him. I have it with me, continued the odd peddler. And as for price... The stranger made a gesture indicating dismissal of all sordid details. I look for my reward in watching the result of the experiment. I am something of a philosopher. I take an interest in these matters. See, the stranger dived between his legs and produced from his pack a silver flask of cunning workmanship and laid it on the table. Its flavour is not unpleasant, explained the stranger. A little bitter, but one does not drink it by the goblet. A wine glassful, such as one would of old Tokai, while the mind of both is fixed on the same thought. May my soul pass into him, may his pass into me. The operation is quite simple. The secret lies within the drug. The stranger patted the quaint flask as though it had been some little dog. You will say, who will exchange souls with Nicholas Snyders? The stranger appeared to have come prepared with an answer to all questions. My friend, you are rich. You need not fear. It is the possession men value the least of all they have. Choose your soul and drive your bargain. I leave that to you with one word of counsel only. You will find the young readier than the old, the young to whom the world promises all things for gold. Choose you a fine, fair, fresh, young soul, Nicholas Snyders, and choose it quickly. Your hair is somewhat grey, my friend. Taste, before you die, the joy of living. The strange peddler laughed and, rising, closed his pack. Nicholas Snyders neither moved nor spoke, until with the soft clanging of the massive door, his senses returned to him. Then, seizing the flask the stranger had left behind him, he sprang from his chair, meaning to fling it after him into the street. But the flashing of the firelight on its burnished surface stayed his hand. After all, the case is of value. Nicholas chuckled, and put the flask aside and, lighting the two tall candles, buried himself again in his green-bound ledger. Yet still, from time to time, Nicholas Snyder's eye would wander to where the silver flask remained half hidden among dusty papers. And later, there came again a knocking at the door, and this time, it really was young Yan who entered. Yan held out his great hand across the littered desk. We parted in anger, Nicholas Snyder's. It was my fault. You were in the right. I ask you to forgive me. I was poor. It was selfish of me to wish the little maid to share with me my poverty. But now I am no longer poor.
Sit down, responded Nicholas in kindly tone. I have heard of it.
So now you are master and the owner of your ship. Your very own. My very own after one more voyage, laughed Jan. I have Burgomaster Alloat's promise.
A promise is not a performance, hinted Nicholas. Burgomaster Alloat is not a rich man. A higher bid might tempt him. Another might step in between you and become the owner.
Jan only laughed. Why, that would be the work of an enemy, which, God be praised, I do not think that I possess.
Lucky lad, commented Nicholas. So few of us are without enemies. And your parents, Jan? Will they live with you?
We wished it, answered Jan, both Christina and I. But the mother is feeble. The old mill has grown into her life.
I can understand, agreed Nicholas. The old vine torn from the old wall withers. And your father, Jan, people will gossip. The mill is paying?
Jan shook his head. It never will again, and the debts haunt him. But all that, as I tell him, is a thing of the past. His creditors have agreed to look to me and wait.
All of them? Queried Nicholas.
All of them I could discover, laughed Jan. Nicholas Snyders pushed back his chair and looked at Jan with a smile upon his wrinkled face.
And so you and Christina have arranged it all?
With your consent, sir, answered Jan.
You will wait for that? Asked Nicholas.
We should like to have it, sir, Jan smiled, but the tone of his voice fell agreeably on Nicholas Snyder's ear. Nicholas Snyder's loved best beating the dog that growled and showed its teeth.
Better not wait for that, said Nicholas Snyder's. You might have to wait long.
Jan rose, an angry flush upon his face. So nothing changes you, Nicholas Snyder's. Have it your own way, then.
You will marry her in spite of me?
In spite of you, and of your friends, the fiends, and of your master, the devil, flung out Jan. For Jan had a soul that was generous and brave and tender and excessively short-tempered. Even the best of souls have their failings.
I am sorry, said old Nicholas.
I'm glad to hear it, answered Jan.
I am sorry for your mother, explained Nicholas. The poor dame, I fear, will be homeless in her old age. The mortgage shall be foreclosed, Jan, on your wedding day. I am sorry for your father, Jan. His creditors, Jan, you have overlooked just one. I am sorry for him, Jan. Prison has always been his dread. I am sorry even for you, my young friend. You will have to begin life over again. Burgomaster Alloat is in the hollow of my hand. I have but to say the word. Your ship is mine. I wish you joy of your bride, my young friend. You must love her very dearly. You will be paying a high price for her.
It was Nicholas Snyder's grin that maddened Jan. He sought for something that, thrown straight at the wicked mouth, should silence it. And by chance, his hand lighted on the peddler's silver flask. In the same instance, Nicholas Snyder's hand had closed upon it also. The grin had died away.
Sit down, commanded Nicholas Snyder's. Let us talk further.
And there was that in his voice that compelled the younger man's obedience.
You wonder, Yan, why I seek always anger and hatred. I wonder at times myself. Why do generous thoughts never come to me as to other men? Listen, Yan, I am in a whimsical mood. Such things cannot be, but it is a whim of mine to think it might have been. Sell me your soul, Yan. Sell me your soul that I too may taste this love and gladness that I hear about. For a little while, Yan, only for a little while, and I will give you all you desire. The old man seized his pen and wrote.